You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Now, you know, whenever I prepare a message, one of the things I look for is the theme that the Holy Ghost wants me to do. And this morning, or actually it was Saturday night, the Holy Spirit said this to me, don't doubt yourself. And I want to preach on those lines today because I believe that if we believe we can do what God has told us to do, it's going to require that we do not doubt ourselves. But if we doubt our ability to believe, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. Let me say it to you this way. Doubt is like wild dogs in your mind. And if you don't take those wild dogs and put them in the corner of your mind, and you let them run ragged into your mind, those wild dogs will corner you, and they will rob you of the faith that God has put in your heart. And I know many of us are in difficult situations, and I'm telling you right now that if you just get this one truth, and that is don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt your ability to believe what God has promised you. Don't doubt your ability that you can do what God has told you to do. I stated last week that if you believe you can, you can. In fact, I believe it was Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, he said this, and it's really a powerful statement. He says, if you believe you can, you're halfway there. And I believe that is something in the church today. We need to rise up and believe that we can do what God has called us to do. Rise up and believe that we can accomplish what God has called us to do. Rise up and become those champions that God has called us to. Now, all my champions, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I want you to look on the screen here in Matthew chapter 17. It's one of my favorite stories. And here's the story. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Disciples have been left in the bottom. They've been given authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick with the name of Jesus. And as far as I know, in the four Gospels, this is the only time their faith failed. A man brought a child to him that a demon kept coming on, and they were unable to cast it out. In verse 14, and when they had come to the multitudes, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, suffering severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Now notice, when they approached this problem, they believed they could, but now they believe they can't. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say unto you that if you have faith as a mustard seed, make a note of that, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now watch this next part. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I want you to say this with me, this kind. Now, most people interpret that as referring to the demonic spirit or the entity that was possessing this boy. But also, you could include that they had to cast out this doubt that they had in their hearts that told them that they weren't able to do this. And so I think that's somewhat where we are today, is a lot of people, they believe they can until they run into a problem, and then all of a sudden, because there's a delay, they believe they can't. Remember this, failure is never final when you stand in faith and you won't waver. In other words, if I keep believing I can, eventually I'm going to get a breakthrough. If I keep believing I can get through this problem, eventually you're going to get through it. If you just believe you can overcome in this area, you will eventually overcome in this area. But sometimes because of the delay, we hesitate, we begin to doubt, and we get into trouble. But the good news is this, Jesus gave us an answer. Amen? He said, listen, guys, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, mustard seed was a type of seed that was different than the regular seed that you'd have, like with corn and wheat and things like that. This seed was very unique. This seed will grow in sand, it'll grow in gravel, it'll grow in topsoil, it'll grow in clay. In other words, a mustard seed will grow anywhere. If you believe that your faith will grow anywhere, there's no mountain that can't be moved in your life. If you believe it can grow in a separation or a divorce, your faith is going to work in that area. If you believe that it can grow in any level of sickness and disease, God, that faith will grow and develop in your life. And that's why he says this kind has to come out by prayer and fasting, because that's what grows the faith to give you the victory that you need in your life. Are you with me so far? Now, the last time I checked, I was preaching to champions. The last time I checked, I was preaching to first string people. The last time I checked, you were all AAA. The last time I checked, you were sons and daughters of God. The last time I checked, you were the head and not the tail. The last time I checked, you were more than conquerors. The last time I checked, you are a winner. So you should be excited this morning, because I am sharing with you what it takes so you don't doubt yourself. When you doubt yourself, you'll go without. When you doubt yourself, you will not believe that you can. Now, when I say you can, I'm talking about doing things in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about I can do anything by myself. I'm talking about in Christ. Paul didn't say I can do all things, period. He said I can do all things through Christ. You can believe and do all things and accomplish all things because Christ is in you. And once you understand that, it is going to make a significant difference. Amen? So as we look at this, wherever you're at, I want you to understand something, that as you begin to pursue your career, marriage, whatever it is God's will that his will be performed in your life. But it won't happen if you don't believe you can. And the people that don't believe they can, it didn't mean they didn't start that way. They started believing they could, but then they ran into the problems. And they begin to doubt themselves. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can get out of debt. I don't know if I can make more money than I made last year. I don't know if I can get through this physical infirmity that the doctors are throwing at me. Now, here's the good news. This miracle that this boy needed, you couldn't take the child down to Children's Hospital. The science has no medicine that will get rid of a demon. Your doctor can't get rid of a sickness that comes from a demon. Only the mighty name of Jesus and the power of that faith can get rid of a demon. That's the only way. And so maybe your problem, maybe there's a natural solution and faith can bring that to pass. But Jesus gave us an illustration of something that couldn't be cured through natural means. And he says, if you would just believe you can, if you would just doubt or not doubt yourself what you can believe for, this mountain can be moved in your life. It's something, I'll tell you what, the church is designed to win in life. We are designed to change the community, not be changed by the community. We are designed to change the evil in government. We are designed to change our school systems. We are designed by God that the power of God's Spirit would work through us in our testimony and what we do. And when someone looks around in your job, they see this supernatural favor that's on you and go, well, what do you have that I don't have? Jesus. How come I do my cold calls and I only get 5% of them and you're getting 50% of them? That's what brings people to Christ, is when you see a manifestation of God's will in their life. And so as I say this before, don't you doubt yourself. Don't you doubt yourself you can believe for. Don't you doubt yourself that you can over the top. Don't you doubt yourself that you can go to the next level. Don't you doubt yourself. And God will do some great things in your life and really bring forth great blessings. Now, many of you have had this happen. I've had it in my life where you believe you can do something, and then you get around a bunch of people that say you can't. I don't believe you can do that. I don't believe that that'll work. I tried, it didn't work. And you have to understand something. It isn't that important what other people think. What is important is what you think about yourself, what you think about what God says to you. It doesn't matter what the world says. What does God's word say? That's what really matters. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the blind man Bartimaeus. And obviously, he was a local blind man that everybody knew because they mentioned the family that he came out of. And he's there on the side of the road begging for food and whatever. And he hears in the crowd Jesus is coming. And he decided right then that he believed that he could get the attention of Jesus. And he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us," or me. And the crowd, in several of the translations, says that the crowd threatened him to be quiet. In other words, imagine being blind and someone threatening you. If you don't shut up, I'm going to close you up. But he did. He wasn't intimidated by what other people said. He kept crying out and crying out and crying out and crying out. And sometimes we got to just cry out, and everyone's saying, "You can't do this," and just keep crying out. They say, "You can't survive that." Keep crying out. "You can't overcome that." Just keep crying out. Because Jesus stopped, and he brought him over to him. And of course, you know the story. He throws off his robe, goes to Jesus. Jesus, "What do you want me to do for you? That I might see like I saw years ago." Jesus touches him. He gets healed. He believed he could get the Lord's attention. And everyone here should believe that if you're a believer. Because Christ Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago. And you remember when he died on the cross, you remember a darkness came over the earth. And it says afterwards that the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. The veil between the holies of holies and the holy place. In other words, God's opening it up and say, "All right, now you can get to me. Now you can get to me. Now you can receive mercy from me. Now you can do that." Praise God. So none of us are in a position right now that we can't get to God. But you got to believe you can. If you don't believe God's answering you, if you don't believe God's hearing you, if you don't believe God's there to help you, you're not going to get through to him. You've got to don't doubt yourself. Go to God. "Lord, I'm standing in faith. I know you've heard me, and it's only a matter of time until it changes. It's only a matter of time until it comes in. It's only a matter of time until the breakthrough comes in my life." You got to understand that you're a champion, that you're a winner, that you're an overcomer, and that you can do it. Amen. But if you don't believe that, you're going to have a difficult time, and you're going to miss out on what God has for you. So in the story, he believed that he could get the Lord's attention, and he did. Let me show you a beautiful verse. I want you to get this spiritual truth. The word of God is like a seed, but it is the most powerful seed that you'll ever put in your heart. It's more powerful than any seed that might come from man. It is a powerful seed, and I want to show you why. Look up at the screen, and I want you to see this. This is in Mark 4:20. "But these are the ones sown on good ground," talking about hearing the word of God, "those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, unless you're a farmer, you don't appreciate this. He's talking here in terms of yield in a harvest. The average farmer during his day would get 12-fold around there in return. Jesus starts out at 30. Says it can go all the way up to 100. In other words, The Word of God can produce more fruit in your life than what naturally is possible. It supersedes natural seed. It supersedes natural ability. It goes way beyond that. I've seen people come to Christ and receive Jesus, and God so radically changed them. Drug addictions fall off. Come on, mental health falls off. Problems fall off and they are rescued. Come on, I'm talking about prostitutes. I'm talking about drug addicts. I'm talking about people with AIDS. I've seen them all delivered because that seed is so powerful. It produces. And once you understand that, it really begins to alter and change the way that you see things. I believe that we can do things with God's help. I believe that there's no limits in your life. Now, here's something that is important that we grasp before we go any farther. If you're a believer, you're a dreamer. I said, if you're a believer, you're a dreamer. Say it with me. If I'm a believer, I'm a dreamer. Now, let me go a step farther. Dreamers are achievers. You are an achiever. You are meant to achieve, to succeed, to prevail in whatever you put your hand to do. If the devil's lied to you and said that's not true, just doubt him. Take those, come on, you know the song, Who Let the Dogs Out? Get the dogs back in the corner of your mind. Tie them up. Hallelujah. So when you understand, you realize you are designed to achieve because you are a dreamer in your life. God's called us to do that. Here's the thing, a great thing about people who believe. People who believe are, oh, let me say it this way. I feel so sorry for unbelievers. Unbelievers don't have energy. Believing fires you up. Believing gets a spark inside of you. Believing causes you to go farther than you went before. Believing causes light to come in your life. The believer's life is a fired up life. It's, listen, maybe you know some frozen chosen. I'm talking about those that are not the frozen chosen. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about people that hear the word for what it says. You are a winner. You are a champion. You are dreamers that achieve in life that God has called you to. And that's what we're called to. I'm going to show you something in the Word that'll help you in this area. When you believe, doors open. When you don't believe, doors are shut. When you believe, there's a spark of fire that goes off into your heart. But when you don't believe, it's like throwing water on a fire. You are designed to believe in your life, to make your life better, more successful, over the top. Come on. Belief will change the way you look. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you react. It'll change the way you succeed. It'll change everything once you decide, I believe I can do it. I believe that God's word will work. I believe I can overcome this, dear. I believe we can do better. I believe we can get that dream house on the water. I believe that we can. Come on, everybody. Am I the only one here? Look at this verse with me. This is in Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, when you see the word reap, many people think of the grim reaper. But reaping is positive as well as it is negative. In other words, reaping is when you experience consequences that came from a seed that is sown. When a person is negative, it means they let the dogs loose in their mind. And it also means it has consequences. Negative attitudes, negative thinking has consequences. The consequences is you lose your joy, you lose your happiness, and you don't recognize opportunities when they come, and you become kind of like you're plagued. Let me put it this way. When you're negative in your thinking, it's like growing dandelions in your mind. How many hate the neighbor that grows dandelions? You put all that weed and feed on there, and that just blows all those bad seeds. When you're negative in your thinking, it's like, gosh, get away from me. You got bad seed, man. But you switch that around and be positive, woo, you got green grass, and your grass is so green, it causes my grass to be green. Hallelujah. God wants you to know that you will reap what you sow. So why not sow good things? Why not sow compliments? Why not sow encouragement? Why not sow, you can do it? Why not say, hey, there's no problem. I know it seems big, but God's bigger than the problem. Why not sow something that moves people to a better place of life? Why not sow something that brings harmony instead of disharmony? Why not sow something that'll radically change your life and bring you to the next level in your life? Why not sow those seeds? Why not get up in the morning and say, baby, you're the best thing I've ever seen in my life. When you get up, the sun comes up. Baby, when you just look and smile, my countenance just goes crazy. Man, you're the hottest thing in my life. I'm going, oh, come on. Now, all the guys at this point should be clapping really loud. But I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing that. Now, let me show you the difference. Ladies, what do you think? Is that good? All right, Lord, bless them anyway. Praise the Lord. But I wanted you to see that. Remember Proverbs 11:25, and I love it. It says this. It says, if anyone withholds more than he should, it leads to poverty. But he says, the generous person, God will make rich. And this is the part I like the most. If you water others, it says you yourself will be watered. I've had people get jealous because I'm always getting watered. But if you're not getting watered enough, maybe you're not watering others. Maybe you need to water your kids more. Maybe you need to water your wife more. Maybe you need to water your boss more if you work for a boss. Come on. If you want to be watered, you got to be a waterer. Amen? So we are called to be people who don't doubt ourselves. I'm not going to doubt myself. I'm not going to doubt what God has told me. I'm not going to doubt that I can do what he told me to do. I'm not going to doubt that, yeah, it's a big promise, but I'm not going to doubt it. Because God can be a measure of faith that gives me the ability to overcome it. And it may be a big mountain. I'm not saying it's not a big mountain. It may terrify most people, but don't doubt it. Don't doubt you can't believe and see the answer. Because I've been around too long, had too many experiences to tell you that there's a mountain that's too big for you. There's not a mountain that's too big in your marriage. There's not a mountain that's too big in your career. There's not a mountain too big in your body. There's not a mountain too big. But you got to make sure that you don't begin to doubt yourself the ability to do it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. One of the things that I like to do is kind of discern when my thinking is wrong. And let me give you one of the symptoms of wrong thinking. Here's one of the symptoms. When you make a big deal out of something that's small and you're a nitpicker, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're broken inside. I said you're broken inside. Because when you're healed and you got positive thinking, you don't sweat the small stuff. You can love somebody even with the little mistakes that they make. But when you get critical, oh, I don't like the tie the pastor's wearing today. Oh, I don't like the fact he's not even wearing a tie. He's got jeans on. Did you see how many kinds of tennis shoes he has? I don't think he should be spending that much money. Those kinds of thinking come from sowing bad seed in your thinking. Now, this will really help you. Remember, a seed has to be conceived before it grows, right? How do you conceive a seed? By saying it. So as long as you don't say it, it won't be conceived. And people go, all right, I'll just never say it. I'll never say it. but I'll think it. No, 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 no. If you think it all the time, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It'll get out. So what you got to do is guard your thinking and also make sure you never let it be released out of your mouth. I said this before, but let me rehearse it. Joyce and I have been married now for 51 years. Amen. Now, I married her when we were 10. But we decided when we got married, because, you know, we got saved, we decided we would never mention the word divorce. Never do. We talk about it with other people that have mentioned it, but we don't do that. In other words, there's just some things you just never say, because we know the power of conception. Once you say it, once you say something like this, I wonder if it would have been better if I never got married. You just sowed a bad seed. And the devil will grow that seed. He'll send you people to water that seed. That's the way it works. So make sure that you guard what you say. Well, I've already messed up. Well, then just confess your sin. Lord, I screwed up. I'm never going to say that again. And get that thing dead. Dig it out of the water or dig it out of the soil. Because God wants you to be blessed coming and going. Amen? Now, let me give you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. All things are possible to the one who believes. All things are possible to the young person who believes. Come on, help me on. All things are possible to the old person who believes. All things are possible to the uneducated person that believes. All things are possible to the educated person that believes. All things are possible to the one who's on the wrong side of the tracks if he believes. All things are possible to the ones on the right side of the tracks that believes. All things are possible to the one that has a very high IQ. And all things are possible to the one who doesn't if you believe the word of God. I want you to know that it's still possible for you. It's still possible for you to get your breakthrough. It's still possible for you to get healed. It's still possible for you to get touched. It's still possible for you to be led. It's still possible for you to have the dreams of your life come to pass. It is still possible for you to get the desires of your heart. It is still possible for you to ride in high places. It is still possible for you to be overcome. It is still possible. But the question is, what's the elephant in the room? Some people say, well, the elephant in my room that's preventing me from believing is I don't have a strong enough anointing. Or how about this one? The elephant in the room is I don't know the word well enough. Or the elephant in the room is I've always been kind of slow. I want to tell you the only elephant in the room is this: belief. If you choose not to believe that you can do it, if you begin to doubt your ability to believe, that is the only elephant in the room. You can overcome the mountains that you want in your life. You can overcome the flesh in your life. You can overcome the attitudes in your life. You can overcome all of that in your life. That's the only elephant in the room. It's a lack of belief. Belief is the most powerful thing. With belief, you can cut yourself off from the promises of God by not believing. It's for you. Yeah. Belief can either open them up or shut the door. Belief can either rise you up or put you down. Belief can either take you to another level or put you down. It's belief. I want you to stand to your feet right now, if you would. And I want you to catch this, because this burns so hard in my heart. God did not call us to be campers, but climbers. He didn't call it, don't get mad at me, you're going this summer camping. But God's called us to be climbers, not campers, climbers. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. What matters is the way you think about yourself. It doesn't matter if they say, oh, you're just this and that. What matters is how you think about yourself. Do you think that you're a child of God? Do you believe that as He is, so are you in this world? Do you believe that you are sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise? That's what matters. That's what matters. That's what matters. That's what matters. Not what other people say, but what does the written word say about you? That's what matters, and that's what will make a difference. I wanted you to stand up because I want to read to you a closing verse and preach it to you a little bit. It was something that the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance, and that was this. I don't want you to take back what your faith has released. I don't want you to take it back because a dark cloud comes over you. I don't want you to take it back because it seems like it's not going to happen. I don't want you to take it back. I want you to hold fast to it. In the Old Testament, there's a story of a father by the name of Isaac who had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And in those days, the firstborn son would get a double portion. If you remember the story, Jacob, who seems to be a mother's boy, convinces him to deceive Isaac out of his brother's birthright. And the reason why he could do this is because in the Bedouin desert, you know, they don't have sunglasses. And the sun over time begins to affect the vision of people that live in the desert. And he's older, he can hardly see. And the difference between Jacob and Esau is Jacob was a hairy man. And Esau didn't have that much hair. I don't know if that's because he was a mama's boy or not, but he didn't have as much hair. And so his mom says, I tell you what to do. Your dad is going to want you to go out and get his favorite meal, which he thinks is coming from Esau, and I'll prepare it. So it's just the way that his son would do it. And then we're going to put animal skin on your arm, so when he touches it, it's hairy. And so they tricked the old man out of it, and he pronounced a blessing. And I want you to see what he says after his brother comes back and realizes what has happened. Then Isaac, trembling exceedingly, said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came. I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away the blessing." He wouldn't take it back. And what the Spirit of God is telling to you is this: don't take it back. What God has prophetically said in your heart, don't take it back. What God has released in faith, don't take it back. Don't take it back. So often we take back what God spoke to us about, what God said to us, because clouds come in, storms come in. Don't take it back. If God said that to you, if God declared it in the Word, if God made it alive, praise God, don't take it back. Say, "I'm not taking it back. Satan, I'm not taking it back. My blessing's coming. I'm not taking it back. I'm going to walk and I'm going to shout and I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to see all my kids saved. I'm not taking it back. I'm not taking it back. I'm going to be blessed with the blessings of Abraham. I'm not taking it back. I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm not taking it back. I'm not going to be overcome by illness. I'm not going to be overcome by sickness. I'm not taking it back. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm not taking it back. And you are a champion. Champions don't take it back. Whew. When you see this, it changes you. Let me pray for a minute. I spoke to you in the past. I revealed to you in the past my will for you. I have not changed my mind. I have not altered, but that will is still in effect. Claim it, lay hold of it. Don't give it back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is what I want to do. I want some of you, you've been praying, and as I minister to this, you begin to realize, oh my goodness, I've been doubting myself. I've been doubting my ability to believe for this, and I really want it, but I just think, well, maybe pastor could believe for it, maybe someone else, but I can't do this. If that's you, I want you to step out real quick and run down front here. We're going to pray. Don't hesitate. Come real quick. We're going to pray. We're going to do a corporate prayer. There's power in corporate prayer, and I believe it'll bless you in a great way. Thank you, Lord. Give God praise, everybody, as they're coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking at champions. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking for average people. I'm looking for first string people. I'm looking for people that are going to end up with more than enough, with plenty left over. I'm looking at people that are going to have a testimony down the road of what happened here this Sunday when God moved by the power of His Spirit and quickened something. Quickened something. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for blessing my brother, Father. Thank you that whatever he puts his hand to do shall prosper. Thank you for helping him develop this new career in his life, this new business. Thank you, Lord, for causing him to prosper so much more, Father, that he will have enough for his children's children. He'll have a legacy of blessing. Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise. Give you praise. Give you praise. Give you praise. I'm not taking it back. You're overcomers in the Northwest. I'm not taking it back. You're going to do more this year than you've done last year. I'm not taking it back that God's blessed you to be more than a conqueror. He's blessed you to have more than enough. He's blessed you to say, whatever you touch is going to turn to gold. Whatever you do is going to be blessed. I'm not taking it back. That anointing is on you to set you free and to break every barrier and bring the blessing of God in your life. Come on, everybody. Give God praise.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the River, and we're doing life together.